campaigns that are happening, we still need press. We still need the media to do its fundamental job of providing context, of elevating voices that regularly get silenced, and especially covering how and who wields power in terms of the police brutality events that happen throughout the protest.
Absolutely. Christine, it's always a pleasure. How do we find out more about you and what's going on with Media Matters?
Well, you can absolutely go visit MediaMatters.org, and you can find me on Twitter. I am Cadiz Lopez G.
There you go. And if you include us at The Union Edge, we'll retweet it for you. Meantime, we got to get going. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Charles.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's just about 10 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. Further focus on Standing Rock, an interview, an extended interview with Bill Means. Stay tuned for that. At 11 o'clock on the Bike Show, we'll hear from Portland bicycle advocates about how pedal power is keeping the Standing Rock protest powered and connected to media. And we have all that coming up after Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, which follows this announcement. Thanks for tuning into KBOO today, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dookie Jam, taking place monthly at Dante's in Portland. Dookie Jam is an open funk jam session for musicians, vocalists, MCs, and everyone who is over 21. Again, that's Dookie Jam this month on Thursday, December 8th at Dante's, 350 West Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, December 7th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, sanctuary radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Again, many, many thanks out to all those people who became members, who renewed the membership, or sometimes just kicked in a little bit extra, so break off a little something for your community radio station, because you're tuned in right now. It's because you cared enough to make this happen, and we all thank you so much. So today's guest is Michelle C. Shepherd Seidelman. She'll be joining us to talk about orcas starving to death. Pods, whole pods of orcas are dying just to the north of us. The Straits of Juan de Fuca, Puget Sound, and all up around the Gulf Islands and the San Juans. These waters have become perilous. This used to be where pods of orcas roamed the seas. You would see them every... If you saw orcas, you knew that there were salmon. And so you threw the engines in, pulled in all the lines, threw the engines into gear, and you went chugging off to look for salmon. And frequently you find yourself surrounded by orcas also looking for salmon. Not many salmon left. Not many salmon left. And as we can see, a trip to Fred Meyer's will convince you that we're not starving, but the orcas are. That said, we'll have Michelle on the line in just a moment. Today's weather, we've got... this is my very favorite phrase from the National Weather Service. I'm sure you have yours. This is mine. Patchy freezing fog. It says it's clearing. Of course, it's sunny as I'll get out right now. We're going to see highs around 38, and wind is getting ready. It's piling up out there and the eastern gorge, 11 to 16 miles per hour by the afternoon. Could get as high as 25 miles per hour for tonight. We could get a little bit of snow very, very late. Increasing clouds, lows around 28. And that east wind is roaring down the gorge at 18 miles per hour, gusting up to 30. For tomorrow's snow, then a little bit of freezing rain and sleet to top things off and make it really icy. Highs around 34, and that wind still persisting 18 to 21, gusting up to 33. For tomorrow night, rain, freezing rain and sleet, and we're going to get, let's see, a low around 36, and it's still windy. It's in that 15 to 30 range, gusting up 30. Yes, indeed. That's going to be something out there. So brace yourself for that. We have got a couple of headlines here. Federal officials apparently are thinking about creating a fuel break system in southwest Idaho and southeast Oregon and northern Nevada to limit the size of destructive rangeland wildfires and protect habitat for sage grouse. The way they're planning to do that, so this is something, a fuel break that takes a lot more time than we have right now to go into, but that would be your key word if you wanted to go and pursue that. And back in Portland, a very, very persistent, very troubling housing shortfall. Leaders say of our ever so green city say that it's a priority to address this. Well, it apparently isn't a list of priorities that the rest of us are privy to. And there's a usual round of shootings, which causes me to think life in America has become cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And false news stories are getting portions of this country worked up into a rage. We don't generally, listeners to this radio station, although we don't know who you might be, we just know you're out there, but don't often subscribe to this alt-right prescription for healing America. So that said, it only makes a person wonder, because we know so little about who the alt-right really are. We know names, we know white supremacist groups, but face-to-face, they could, certainly out in the East County, they could be neighbors. And in fact, they are neighbors. So that said, and life becoming increasingly cheap, one of the things that public intellectuals, Malcolm Gladwell, all down the line, have thought about from time to time is, what would it take for America to see the Civil War Part II, Son of Civil War, as it were? I am beginning to think that we might be aggregating some of the key elements needed for that to occur. It's just a thought, and but as we are allowing ourselves to think about that, it turns out though that here in Oregon, some of the leaders of industry, as it were, have expressed a willingness to consider tax increases. Well, you know, we had an opportunity not that long ago to do exactly that. After this election, after they're safely on dry land, now they're saying they would consider tax increases. How very, very convenient for them. And downstate Klamath County supporting a chap by the name of Sheriff Frank Scrapp in an excessive force lawsuit filed by a former jail inmate. And facts in jails are about as flexible as facts on the outside now that we've turned the country into a fascist prison state. Yes, we have. That's right. And let's see. I want to get on with this. We know now that the conviction of Mohamed Mahmoud, the Somali-American boy who's serving a 30-year sentence for plotting to bomb downtown Fortin, that held, and very likely again because of the direction in which this country is drifting and the justice system that accompanies it in its lurch to the right. There are a great many other things happening. Syria is pretty much is in a doomed state. What is happening there is unconscionable. We're going to be talking tomorrow with Steve Zunis about just that very thing. Moving right along, Michelle Seidelman, an activist, longtime and absolutely committed activist with Sea Shepherd, one of the few conservation groups, one of the few environmental groups that really acts on what it claims to be acting on. So, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome back to the KBOO Airwaves.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm well. I'm a little bit disturbed what we talked about the other day about what the condition is up there in waters. If it's under the water, we don't see it. It didn't happen, so we are safe. We've got there's a public meeting, and it's something you were about to speak about too, I believe, in the interview. There is a meeting and a rally today to save wild salmon, and that is what is critical to saving the orcas. Again, this week we talked about the Marble Murrelet and emphasizing the fact that it is connected to so many other systems in the wild. People don't see that. It's in the epic, in the canopy, a place that we know so little about. So let's bring it right down to ground level where people can see that when we are killing off salmon, and we're killing them off. Sea lions are not killing them off. We're killing them off. And when that happens, it is part of a system that extends up into northern waters, the San Juans, and the Straits of Juan de Fuca, Puget Sound, San Juan Islands, Gulf Islands, and, of course, all that between Vancouver Island and the mainland. All that is being affected by the extinction of salmon here in the Northwest, it is not accidental. It could be stopped. We could stop it, absolutely. We could get rid of those dams. We don't do it. We're responsible in the end. And here we can see that orcas, hundreds, even 1,000 miles away from us, are affected by our actions right here. So tell us a little bit more. If you could describe, you described the death of some of these pods. Please share that.
Basically, what's happening is kind of on the housekeeping end, and then as to how it really is impacting the orcas. So basically, right now, the Columbia River System operations is allowing the public in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana to come in and make a public comment on removing the lower floor of the Snake River dams. This is absolutely critical for salmon and steelhead habitat, who are now listed on the endangered species list.
Could you tell, Michelle, I don't mean to interrupt. We have always, it's at Cascadia, we always run out of time. Could you talk to me, tell listeners about the death of the pods, about the mother trying to save?
Yeah. So the southern resident orcas, which consist of JK and L pod, they are down to numbers of 80. And just this summer, we watched Polaris slowly starved to death, as well as her son, Dipper. And all the while, his sister, she was constantly trying, J46, his sister, Star, was consistently trying to bring salmon, forage for his mother, forage for her son, and bring salmon and feed them. And actually, when Dipper passed, he was covered in teeth marks from her trying desperately to keep his head above the water as he starved to death. And unfortunately, she lost that battle, and she lost both of her brother and her mother. And now I actually saw pictures yesterday sent out to me with now her showing signs of clear starvation. So we've got to breach those dams. We cannot wait for a five-year, the NEPA five-year plan will kill our orcas. They will be extinct by then. There was already a seven-year, $33 million study done by the EPA, and it says breach the dams. It's the number one way to bring salmon back, and we need to breach them now. And that's what I'm trying to get the public to realize, that the five-year study is too late for salmon, too late for the southern resident orcas.
How do we roll back the NEPA plan?
We can do it by executive order. You can call Obama today, and it actually, these are taxpayer dams. They aren't owned by Bonneville Power. They are not private, and they could be signed by Obama today, and we could start breaching possibly, hopefully, before Trump takes office. So you can make those calls to your senator, to our governor, and straight to Obama. You can attend this meeting, and you can say dams need to go now. We don't need to have another five-year study. We already spent $33 million on the EIS study, and it's time to breach. Otherwise, the orcas will never make it. Center for Whale Research says we've got maybe 2 years left. I mean, they're dropping like flies. It's
so one more, just before we let you go, and we will definitely see you down there this afternoon. Mm-hmm. What the time and place of the rally?
Yeah, it's 4 to 7 at the convention center. Some activists will be at the ticket booth at the main entrance, and then you can go on in and make your statement with a stenographer or on the computer. It's an open house, so you're welcome to walk around. Please pick up a card from us, so you have some knowledge on how to make a statement about them being breached now versus 5 years from now.
Michelle, I cannot thank you enough for that. We've been hearing from Michelle Settleman. She's a longtime activist with Sea Shepherd, though really we mean business end of the environmental movement, the No Retreat, No Surrender. This has been Cascadia for Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. Sanctuary Radio.